of all state government road authorities, the New South Wales Department of Main Roads, the DMR, was the largest. They had responsibility for building and maintaining interstate highways and country roads. The DMR eventually became the RTA. But in the 1960s, it was still a very different organisation, as David Dash, former manager of the pavement branch at the RTA, and Phil Walter remember.
It was a rapidly developing organisation, extremely hierarchical. The engineers ran the show.
The DMR was basically like a father. It looked after its sons, and in those days, no women. You had a career from start to finish, and you could pretty well gamble that by the end of your time with the DMR, you'd be in a fairly senior position.
It was field officers all over New South Wales. These officers had up to 80 to 150 people, workshops, clerical. They were interesting places of being in interesting towns in many cases. They were spread right throughout New South Wales, and the dust was an enormous problem in rural areas, and dust-free roads were seen as an enormous benefit. So there was very little community objection to the work being done.
The DMR employed its own day labour gangs. Igor Hinzak, on visiting the Grafton Works office, made his own poignant observations on their work practices.
They had a start period, they had a smoko period, they had a lunch period, they had another smoko period, and they had a going home period. And in the country, of course, without being too disrespectful, people didn't want to work overtime because it chewed into their beer drinking time. So these poor engineers had to try and use cement to do pavement stabilisation in these periods that were available to them. And there were some sections of pavement done where they were halfway through rolling it, and it was smoko time, so everyone stopped. Because after smoko, it was the wrong profile, so you often had to cut it out and start all over again. And this could happen two, three, four or five times.
Mal Bilanivsky, now asset manager at the RTA Southern Regional Office, worked at the DMR's Goulburn office in the 1970s. At that time, the state of the Hume Highway caused much concern.
When I was in the works engineer Goulburn, mostly it was a two-lane natural gravel seal pavement, which best can be described as a go-track. No dual carriageway, there was just two lanes of very poor road. Back in those days, any wet weather used to find the problems in the pavement very quickly. When I took over in 75, there had been a very wet period in 74 where the road had been closed many times. There was accidents virtually every week, almost every night, trucks on there, rolled over, hidden potholes, hidden craters. There was even articles in the paper of the Army testing off-road vehicles for the Army and drove from Sydney to Melbourne, and they failed the test on the Hume Highway.
Greg Harris, now Superintendent Maintenance at the RTA's Wagga Wagga office, was a plant operator for most of his working life with the DMR. He worked on the Hume Highway during the 1970s.
We had the bad areas, like they used to call the Tarkata Narrows, which is very narrow road, very windy, trees and that very close to the edge of the road, and that used to attract a lot of truck accidents. And some areas, like I'll talk about one area, it was a place they call Frog's Hollow. Every engineer who'd come there, they all said they'd fix it. And they all walked away and they didn't. And they'd patch it and they'd patch it and they'd dig it up and replace it. They tried stabilising it and it wasn't successful. It started to be all right and they'd realised that water was the problem, so they herringboned it. Then they stabilised the whole lot again and then they put the DGB on top. And that was back in the early 80s. And to this day, that bit of road hasn't moved.
Brian Hansen is an engineer with the RTA, currently in charge of the Murray River Crossing project. But in the 1980s, Hansen worked on the Hume Highway, which was then undergoing rehabilitation by stabilisation.
Wagga Hill is a section of the Hume Highway near the intersection with the Sturt Highway. Back in the 80s, that was undergoing a lot of rehabilitation and restoration to keep it trafficable. And in that process, there's a lot of stabilisation done in the surface layer using cement. And possibly due to the cement content being too high and a combination of the subgrade being too weak, the base material, the surface material, pavement actually broke up into blocks, cracked into significant size blocks. And what was happening during wet weather is these blocks were becoming dislodged by trucks driving through at night, and these large chunks of concrete or concrete type material were left lying on the road, and a car following along behind would suffer enormous damage if they hit one. So we had a patrol there actually working night and day doing what we were calling the divot replacement program to replace these divots. That caused some problems. The solution to that was to overlay the pavement with asphalt, which was done shortly after that. We put 200 millimetres of asphalt over all the road.
Most of the times we've traditionally built our roads at the wrong level, and that's only because we built our roads on the low-cost solution. And unfortunately, that's all Australia could afford in the 1940s and 50s. One of the best solutions in the rural environment is to build up the height of the road. So overlay process is a valid option, and we tend to use that anyway in road stabilisation because most of our failed pavements are out of shape, out of profile. And in fact, to get it back into profile, you need to bring in new materials so that you can get a better ride at the end of the day.